The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Bing. It's going to be a hot Find Your Phone Friday, 770-5633 to join in 11 minutes after 6. We're at 65 degrees, 96 today, 96 tomorrow. Make that upper 80s on Sunday, apparently low 90s on Monday and Tuesday. In other words, it's summer. Okay, there we go. I know that I'm going to have Steve Malloy on Monday's show. We're going to go down the rabbit hole because every year, every summer, with all of the climate change nonsense, which continues to go on. And I was talking a little bit about that yesterday. It's never been hotter. It's never been colder. It's never been snowier. It's never been drier. It's never been droughtier. It's never been volcanic. You know, nothing bad has ever happened in weather until people discovered carbon dioxide. And then after they discovered carbon dioxide, then everything became bad. Just very, very bad. Okay. I'll talk with Steve Malloy about that, of course, founder of junkscience.com, who will go through and blow up the junk science, which tends to be running most of the news departments in the United States these days because, well, you know, it's headlines. Ooh, be scared. Be scared. Be very scared. Don't do anything to adapt. Don't do anything to adapt to it. No, we don't want to adapt to climate change because we know just what the right temperature of the earth should be, right? That's where they come from. Well, we'll set that aside here for the time being. Now, in the Providence nursing strike, this is interesting. It's, you know, every day being a member of the media, you know, as it were, it's dueling press releases. You have the press release from Providence and you have the press release from the Oregon Nurses Association. And the part that kind of surprises me is that the Oregon Nurse Association press release is being distributed by Flash Alert, which is normally, you know, government notices and various groups like that put out press releases. I'm surprised that unions will talk about their negotiating process and put it out in Flash Alert. Maybe I misunderstand what Flash Alert is all about, but we'll set that aside for right now. But here it is. This is what the nurses union is advising for today. As historic nurses strike comes to a close, Providence nurses celebrate and prepare for unlawful lockout. Now, that's really interesting. This has been years in the making. They're saying this moment here now, what we are doing is not just about Providence nurses. It's about nurses across the state of Oregon standing up and demanding better for our communities. This according to Brittany Ross, RN and chair of the Providence Hood River Bargaining Unit. Okay? So remember, the ask is for a 34% raise. Pretty healthy raise. Providence only offered 23. I just know that, you know, if my boss, who's probably listening, were to offer me a 23% raise to stay on the job, I'd probably kiss him on the lips. But most workers would, too. But instead, over at Providence, they're spitting over this, I guess. And then you have Danielle Craig from Providence Medford. And their press release comes out here. Providence asks union leaders to respect patient privacy and safety. Union talks one way, acts another. Providence asks union leaders to respect patient privacy and safety. Union leaders fail to respond to 6 bargaining proposals. Providence today called on nursing leaders who represent some of the highest paid nurses in the nation, according to Becker's Hospital Review, to consider patient safety and privacy on Friday morning. And by the way, they did mention something which I think is correct with regard to the Providence nurses are out there. They'll be dancing on the streets, I guess, today talking about how this is an illegal lockout, that Providence is locking them out. And maybe they are locking them out technically. But it was always known that the replacement nurses, which were brought in to make sure that people didn't die while the nurses were on strike, that they had a 5-day contract. The replacement nurses are all working through 5-day contracts, even though the walkout, the picketing that the Oregon Nurses Association ended up putting in place here is 3 days. Well, they could say that they're no longer on strike today, but Providence doesn't need them because they have replacement nurses. And I guess they would call replacement nurses if they really needed them, if there was some serious stuff, and then they would call them. But other than that, the regular Providence nurses will not be welcomed back until after the 5-day period is up, Sunday night, you know, apparently. So that's what's going on, and Providence is saying, "Hey, you people knew that this was this was going to be the rule, that we're going to have to hire the nurses on a five-day contract. And the nurses are going, and now the nurses are talking about illegal lockouts. And, you know, this is both sides, I'm sure, just trying to play the media like a violin, I guess. And I have great respect for nurses. I've had parents in Providence and Asante both, and received very good care in both of our hospital systems here in Southwest Oregon. I'm hoping that they find a way to really, you know, meet together and come together, because I have to tell you, I have more affection for the Providence system right now than I do for some of the other systems in the state of Oregon. And I'm surprised that nobody has mentioned this, that a lot of the members of the Oregon Nurses Association who are now striking Providence were also some of the same nurses that were blown out of Asante during the COVIDacy. Remember, take the safe and effective or else you're fired. You notice that kind of got forgotten, you know, at this point? I would be curious how many of the striking nurses were the ones that had been fired out of Asante. I don't know. I don't know what it is. Just an open question there. And it seems seems unseemly, in my view, to be painting Providence, to be painting the motivations in such an unseemly manner. And I'm hoping that that cooler heads will prevail about that. I don't think it, you know, there are a lot of problems, I could say, with both hospital systems in different ways, in different areas. Of course, Asante has its own issue, of course, with the nurses issue, as we well know. But that's being prosecuted also. Oh, by the way, there's some news about that, too, that I'll share with you in just a moment. But I'll always have a soft spot for Providence truly looking out for the community when they hired many of the fired Asante employees. And to me, I'll admit, I have a bit of affection, because a lot of other places were firing all of the nurses and medical people that would not take the mRNA jab. Remember that? I think a lot of people have forgotten about that. And now it's under attack. And now it's probably trying to control costs, too. How many businesses right now could handle a 34% pay and benefit raise like that? Not too many. But like I mentioned, if Asante raises pay, or if Providence raises pay, they don't really pay it. People like you and me get to pay it. The patients get to pay it. So it's trying to find some balance. I'm hoping that some cooler heads prevail, and that stop throwing nasty grams back and forth. It would be good. By the way, I think it was KOVI 5, speaking of nurses, with Danny Schofield, you know, the Asante nurse charged in the drug diversion, otherwise drug theft, you know, that whole situation, 44 people. Man, just a big story. There's a possibility she might post bail. KOVI 5 was reporting that yesterday. She had to come up with something like $400,000, $450,000, I guess. They were waiting for a wire to clear, so she might be back on the streets at some point. But we'll keep an eye on that one, too. Very, very interesting. 19 minutes after 6, had a couple of fires break out here in Southwest Oregon, too. Just to give you a quick update on that, Mr. Outdoors will tell you more after 7 o'clock when we do the outdoor report here. But we had a fire on Highway 62. Well, let me just kind of break this down. This is from Oregon Department of Forestry. And Upper Applegate Fire, about 120 acres is what they figure that is. And we don't have any update from late last night. 90 people are working that fire. Got it about 5% line. And they're working that really hard, of course. And Highway 62 fire, this is the one out by Shady Cove, holding at 75 acres at around 40% line. They have 60 firefighters working to that. Firefighting or fire activity got lower overnight, as it always does. Gets a little cooler. The humidity comes in, that sort of thing. And we'll have an update here. I'm sure Greg will give us the latest on that less than an hour from now. Okay? This is the Bill Myers Show, and you are on KMED and 99.3 KBXG.
Artisan Bakery Cafe, your go-to for all things delicious. Now serving amazing summer specials. Try their turtle brownie, loaded with caramel and pecans, blueberry cream cheese coffee cake, chocolate hazelnut croissant, lavender cupcakes filled with Bavarian cream, and coconut cream beignets. So many fresh baked goodies just waiting for you. Swing by Tuesday through Friday from 7 to 3, and Saturday from 8 to 3 at 1325 Center Drive across from South Fred Meyer. That's the Artisan Bakery Cafe.
James Taylor released the single Fire and Rain in August of 1970, and it quickly reached number 3 on the Billboard Hot 100. This song is a reminder that summer heat and winter moisture can make the ground under your house foundation unstable. With Millette Construction, you've got a friend that can level your house and fix the water issue that caused the damage. Get on solid ground. Millette Construction is your foundation handyman. Visit MilletteConstruction.com. CCB number 32787.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is your tonneau cover source. Tonneau covers are a great way to secure and protect the cargo in your bed from the elements. Styles from Truck Gear, Mack Industries, Undercover, and more. Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, your one-stop accessory and protection shop.
When the IRS comes knocking, the news can be shocking. Tell them you've hired a CPA tax expert at First Response Resolution, located in Eagle Point. Leave speaking with the IRS to Zach. He'll defend your rights as a taxpayer. Visit FirstResponseIRS.com today for a free consultation.
Hi, I'm Charlene, owner of American Industrial Door, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
22 after 6, 770-5633. 770-KMED. Susan Halland at the Daily Courier had an interesting story the other day. I was just reading that. Natural gas ban is off the table in Ashland. A total ban, just to share a little bit of this, you can go to the Daily Courier and see the whole thing, but a total ban on natural gas is off the table for the city of Ashland. But the city council is still examining ways to curtail its use in new construction. So our communist city council climate change experts there have decided that the way to solve the world's problems is to make housing even more expensive in the city of Ashland. But anyway, last time the council took a look at the issue was in May, Susan writes, when it voted to have a legal review of several proposed ordinances, results expected to be brought back a little later this year. And the proposed ideas for new ordinances, including banning nitrogen oxides, emission pollutants, specifically looking at water heaters and furnaces. In other words, they're not going to ban. Yeah, you can see the kind of fraud that the Ashland City Council is wishing to engage in. They're climate change communists are trying to do. Well, we're not going to ban natural gas per se. It's kind of like when Joe Biden says, well, we're not going to ban gasoline-powered vehicles, right? We're just going to make emission standards so high that they can't possibly be complied with. And so you would have to go with something else, you know, that kind of thing. The second proposed ordinance involves a carbon charge in which a fee would be imposed on those who choose to install natural gas pipelines in their home during construction. Oh, okay. A carbon charge. You realize that all of those communist city councilors in the city of Ashland are also breathing out carbon. Should we charge them? How much should we be charging communists who want to put carbon charges on natural gas for every person in the city council who actually breathes out carbon dioxide? Who's with me? What, a penny per breath or say or something? It's only much because obviously the city council is just as much a part of the... Yeah, I know, I'm just kind of going down this whole rabbit hole of nonsense, in which an inert gas ends up being the cause of everything which is wrong in the city of Ashland. A lot of this came from the kids. You know, the kids at Ashland High School that, of course, have been inculcated in this climate change nonsense for years. And then, you have to do something for us. We have a right, we have a constitutional right to a great climate. And you need to be enacting policies to make this happen. And I know a lot of times these suits are getting smacked down, but yeah, we're supposed to be listening to the children because they're crying and then enacting policy. We're not supposed to know anything about it. Well, you know, in my benevolent dictatorship, now I'm not a benevolent dictator yet, but if I ever were a benevolent dictator, now remember, benevolent dictatorship, everybody which would be proposing anything against natural gas, diesel, whatever the case might be, which actually keeps Western civilization running and people not starving, everybody who wants to shut all this down, I think we need to come up with a, well, let's just put them to work on the collective farms. Since they're so big on on collectivism and communism and collective solutions to the world problems, the global problems that we're going to enact changes here locally to make sure and fix. And then we should bring in all sorts of other really neat programs from history that that people like this would happen. You know, the kids are saying, oh, we got carbon, and there's carbon in our food, and there's carbon and natural gas, and oh, my goodness. Okay. We will then insist that every piece of food that goes in and out of the city of Ashland will then have to be done with natural organic farming. Now, of course, you know, a lot of people in Ashland would think that this is great. Oh, but it must also come from their surrounding area so that all of the students, all of the city councilors that are wanting to vote to ban natural gas connections and everything else, and natural gas, bad, bad, bad. Of course, natural gas also provides the fertilizers. The fertilizers for the stuff that so many people eat, including even people in Ashland, right? Well, we'll just have to have those Chinese-style farms of the 1960s or in Vietnam, where they would take the students and the intellectuals that were getting uppity with the government at that point, and then they have to go out and take the human excrement and spread it on the fields. And if you're going to go communism, go full-scale communism, city of Ashland. Stuff just irritates me to my core, and I'm sorry to be so irritated with you at 627 because it's a beautiful day, but we have ugly politics and stupid politics going on here in Southwest Oregon. All right, let's bring those collective Chinese Vietnamese farms, maybe the gulag types thing. They can get a real experience of what totalitarianism is. You know, they want to do soft totalitarianism, which, well, we're just going to have little regulations and we're going to save the planet. Let's make Ashland live its principles. You can do the same thing for talent too. Live your principles. Start your collective farms. Get them out there. Get them spreading the excrement on the fields because you don't want to have any natural gas fertilizers, you know, coming out of there. No ammonia fertilizers because that's bad. Natural gas is climate change. You know, we got to do that. And so you better get with the natural plan, kids. 28 minutes after 6. Yeah, I could go on that for a lot of hours, but... We will not because we don't have a lot of hours, but we do have some time to talk with Rick Manning. The DC Swamp Update is coming up, and we're going to have some great conversation on that. No news going on there. I wonder how hot it is in DC because I'll tell you, even 85 degrees feels miserable there compared to 85 here. That is for sure. 629 KMBD and 99.3 KBXG. You're waking up with the Bill Myers Show. Mr. Outdoors is also coming up at 710.
Life's busy, and off is not an option. You need to be on the water, on the call, on the road. Life's waiting. Power on with Batteries Plus. Visit one of over 700 locations today.
Summertime is truck time in Southern Oregon, so I'm going to keep the $445 a month deal going on Ford F-150s. Joel here at Butler Ford and Truck Center. Tow the boat or camper for only $445 a month and a new Ford F-150. Go haying, hunting, or hauling for only $445 a month and a new Ford F-150. Whatever you do in your truck, make sure you do it in one from Butler Ford and Truck Center, where I'll show you how to lease a brand new Ford F-150 for only $445 a month. And let's talk about Ford certified pre-owned vehicles. We're the dealership that sells a make and model as Ford Blue certified. Ford backs up these pre-owned vehicles with a comprehensive warranty and roadside assistance. Butler says yes to easy financing to everyone. Butler says yes to $445 a month on a new F-150. And Butler says yes to certified pre-owned vehicles with warranty. Butler Ford and Truck Center, just 12 short minutes south of Medford, right off of exit 19, where you know we've got your truck, your SUV, your certified pre-owned hybrid and electric vehicle.
36-month lease payments and 7,500 miles per year with 7,500 cash or trade to a 70, excluding tax, license, title, and 250 dealer dock fee on vehicle with cap cost of $42,884. Approved financing to Ford Credit. Offer expires 7/9/24.
If you have an appliance that's giving you trouble, Just-In-Time Appliance is your fast and affordable mobile appliance repair, serving the Rogue Valley. Just-In-Time services and repairs all brands. Major appliances often can be repaired, extending their life and saving you money. So give Just-In-Time Appliance a no-obligation call for advice on whether it can be fixed with the best warranty around. Before you go to the expense of buying a new appliance, call Just-In-Time Appliance online at justintimeappliance.com.
Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
With SRN News, I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. Donald Trump's campaign outraised President Biden by more than $60 million last month. Federal filings show the president and DNC brought in $85 million in May, while Trump and the RNC raised $141 million. Excessive heat warnings and alerts remain in effect for millions of Americans. It's having an effect, too, in many states. School districts in New Jersey, for example, switched to early dismissals as the school year there is winding down. Highway crews in Indiana are starting their shifts 2 hours earlier in a bid to beat the heat. Former President Trump says he wants to give automatic green cards to foreign students who graduate from U.S. colleges. It's a sharp departure from some of the language he uses when talking about immigration on the campaign trail. This is SRN News.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. And maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for health care can save many families up to $500 a month, and that's huge. But it's also true people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. See what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. 844-45.
Does your property have adequate, defensible space for fire season? Hi, this is Jeff with Quality Tree Service. Fire officials are again urging property owners to maintain a buffer clear of brush, low-hanging branches, and other flammable material. At Quality Tree Service, we can visit your property and recommend trimming, brush clearing, and tree removal if necessary to help provide fire protection for your home and outbuildings. Call me today for a thorough inspection and no-obligation quote. Visit QualityTreeServiceMedford.com.
Bicoastal Media's 2024 Best of Southern Oregon magazine, presented by Dusty's Transmissions, is publishing in July. Thank you to all of our winners and advertisers who will appear in the coming edition. In the meantime, you can visit bestofsouthernoregon.com to flip through the current magazine and find all of Southern Oregon's best suppliers of goods and services. Also, please email rvcontact@bicoastal.media if your business is interested in being a pickup location for the 2024 Best of Southern Oregon magazine.
106.3 KMED, and this is the Bill Myers Show.
This is the craziest party that could ever be. Don't turn on lights, because I don't want to see. I'm not told and that's gone.
Yeah, the craziest party just continues here. Chris, I don't know, is the swamp emptied out right now during this this heat wave here? Rick Manning, president of Americans for Limited Government. What's it look like right now? What's the story?
Well, I was down there yesterday, and it actually, it wasn't that busy. There were, it was pretty much tourists from what I could tell. But it's, you know, during the, when Congress goes out of session, Congress does, you know, DC empties out. And it's, they've got, they're basically getting ready to go out on July, I guess they've already done July 4th. So they're about to go out on, no, they haven't done July 4th yet. I'm getting mixed up. It was Juneteenth, wasn't it, that we just did?
Yeah. Juneteenth, you know, that's a brand new federal holiday. Brand new one.
Yeah.
You
know? What a mess.
Well, you know, I can't wait. I can't wait until we find there's going to have to be a Pride Month holiday at some point. Maybe we can get the whole month off. Okay.
Well, I don't know. All I know about that is I know very little about Pride Month except for I hear ads on the radio for people who are celebrating it in different companies, and I just take down their names and try to avoid their products. But it's a Procter & Gamble is kind of hard to avoid.
Yeah.
I think the most interesting thing that's happening on that area is we've got kids who are being prosecuted for doing skid marks on pride painted flags on roadways.
In the same states that you could burn the American flag, no harm, no foul, right?
In the same states that you get elevated for burning the American flag.
Yeah, yeah.
In the same states that we have this really, really interesting dynamic where it shows the lie to all the hate crime nonsense. Hate crime should be eliminated, okay? Let's just be clear.
Well, no, there is no such thing as a hate crime, though. I mean, right. See, you know, there is just crime. It's just crime.
It's
you know,
crime.
if it's okay. Bad to hit someone with a baseball bat because you wanted to steal their money, it's no worse if you were to hit someone with that same baseball bat because you just didn't like them or disagreed with them.
Right. And that's those are two same. It's the same physical harm, and physical action. But I think the Skidmark case on the Pride paint job is, I think it's emblematic of how upside down the world is. We have a world where, due to supposed free speech, you're allowed to go off and call for death to all Jews on college campuses. You're allowed to go off and take over buildings and destroy property. You're allowed to not allow your fellow students to be able to get to class.
Oh, but put the skid marks on a pride mural on the ground.
You put skid marks on a pride mural and you're prosecuted.
Yeah.
And I don't think America gets fooled by that. I mean, the only way they can fool anybody is by not telling us about it. And because the fact of the matter is, any thinking person would say, wait a second, you can't tell me there's not, two classes of people.
Yep.
And I'm in the wrong class according to the governing bodies. On an overall scale of things, putting skid marks on a paint mural on the ground is
vandalism.
Zero.
I mean, it's vandalism is all. It's
zero.
It's vandalism.
It's vandalism.
You're right.
You know what you don't do if you don't want something? If vandalism is, if I've got a fence painted and I go at them and I go and I paint over something, skid marks on the street are skid marks on the street.
But you also know what's really
intentionally do them. But
you also know what's really going on behind the scenes in this culture, in this culture battle, this one-sided culture battle, Rick, is that you're now seeing the kids. Some of the kids are finally coming out. We're tired of being told that we have to salute the lies. And I think there's a certain amount of that going on. And we're now getting a bit of the pushback, which it's like, what are you about? Well, it's kind of like that old movie that my mom probably grew up with, Rebel Without a Cause or whatever it is from the 1950s. What are you rebelling against? What do you got? Right. Remember that line?
I think a few James Dean movies would be good for people to see. It is what do you got?
Well, you're told though that you're told that the LGBTQ agenda is something that you cannot disagree with in any way, shape, or form, and that you must be
100%.
You must be down with it.
And I think the fact that the emperor's new clothes were pointed out as being totally naked by Riley Gaines a year or two ago, who stood up and finally somebody who was directly affected by this garbage stood up and said, no, that is wrong. And she's articulate, she's smart, they tell intimidate her. They attempt to violently attack her. Nobody gets charged. And people look at this and say, she's right.
Yeah. Well, hey, the spring back's coming, my friend. It really is. You find out, I think people are tired. You get to the point where you know who owns you when you find out who you're not allowed to criticize, that sort of
That's
thing.
Correct.
And I think people are tired of being owned by this agenda. They really are.
Yeah. You sit there and you look and you say, why are the crazies setting the rules? And if you say, when you say that out loud, you're it's a hate crime. Geez, they're, but 10 years ago, they were clinically crazy. Okay.
Demonstrably certifiable. You could look it up in the diagnostic books.
And so somehow the definition of, this definitions got changed, and suddenly crazy became normal, and they've been putting kids, you know, kids in school. There's a reason why so many kids, if you actually survey them, will say, oh, yeah, there's gender fluidity. Because if they don't,
they're in trouble.
They are ostracized in their own schools.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting you bring that up about being ostracized in your own schools. I don't know if you, I know you probably don't keep up with the news here in Southwest Oregon, but one of the biggest stories happening in our government schools, our public schools, which are government schools, as you well know, you know, the definition of that, are complaining, and they're wringing their hands over declining enrollment, big declining enrollment. And so, you know, we're looking at now some of our school districts in which per year total cost per student are like $25,000 to $30,000 when you add in all the costs in, and they're continuing to decline in enrollment. And these children didn't just all of a sudden disappear, Rick. They're going into private and or homeschooling or other alternative ways of getting educated, because the one thing I will say about the COVIDiocy that really brought this to bear is that a lot of parents, not all of them, but a good percentage of parents finally saw, with the at-home learning and all the online stuff, they finally saw the garbage in the agendas that were being pushed. And they said, nope, not my kid.
Yeah. That is exactly what's happened across the country. And another piece of this, I can't overemphasize how important this is. A certain percentage of people are now saying, I'm taking responsibility for my own child. The more the government tries to take that responsibility for them, the more they're taking their children and saying, no, you don't have influence over my kid. And the further our local education system gets away from the local mores, because it's driven by Salem or it's driven by D.C., the further it gets away from what the local norms are, and in the attempted, you know, national indoctrination, the more people in localities and rural areas are going to reject it. They're just going to opt out. Of course, the left, because we know what they do, they're going to go after homeschooling first. They have, to some extent. But, you know, you have places like Germany where they said, well, no, you're not allowed to homeschool. And they arrest people and they take their children away from them if they homeschool. And it is a logical step for the left to try to take, is to say, well, you can homeschool. You can't homeschool. You can send your kids to private school, but you can't homeschool. So expect to see that. That'll be their next step. They will also, it wouldn't surprise me if they don't put a homeschool, private school tax on people. It's not enough that you pay your property taxes and that pays for the schools, and you pay your income taxes to the state and that pays for your schools. I predict they're going to, because the exact thing you just said about the cost per child, they're going to say, well, we need to be able to, we're going to punish people who are withholding their children by eliminating the child deduction on state income tax or on federal income tax. There's no proposal that I know of that's going to do this, that's doing this, but it's only logical that those who want to control your children are going to punish you for not letting them do it. And they have certain means to do it. They can make it illegal for you to do that, which they can't really do with private school, but they can tax you. They can say, hey, you know, you're putting an undue burden because by withholding your children, you're making it more costly per child, and hence we're going to make you pay an additional tax for that.
Which is kind of an interesting use of mathematics, because when it comes right down to it, if you're not in the school, you're not imposing any cost on it.
100%. 100% true.
None.
But there are places, and I think parents who homeschool their kids, and private school kids for that matter, where a private school doesn't offer, you know, say, after-school athletics, I think there's a real strong case to be made on the other side of that, that people who are paying for the public education system, who have children who are not using the public education system, should be able to participate in in after-school activities that the parents are paying for.
Yeah, you're paying for it anyway. But what they're wanting, though, they want you in the classroom, that
right.
daily per diem.
So you get
you know?
Your ADA, I know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not American Dental Association. That's average daily attendance. But yes, it's perverse logic, but it is. I spend so much time here in D.C. There's no such thing as perverse logic. Okay, the left doesn't.
No. Perverse logic, in other words, it's political logic, is where you're speaking.
Yeah,
about. That's all it
they
is.
They don't. There's and if you, you know, it's really comes down to a very. Everything seems to come down lately for me from a very simple principle. There's either truth or there's not truth. If math, for instance, is racist, then you can do whatever you want to with math to make it not racist. Okay, so that's and the left has declared math to be racist. 2 + 2 is suddenly racist.
Mm-hmm.
So if math is racist, then somebody who is taking that premise can say, in order to undo the racism of math, we have to now alter math to make it so it's not racist. And one way to alter math is to say, even though you're paying for education for your kid through your taxes, some people who are maybe new to the country because they've been imported aren't paying any money into the system for their kids to be in school. You, the person who's withholding your child from public indoctrination, shall pay an additional price because we need to be make math equitable, and the only way to make it equitable is to effectively increase the amount you pay because you refuse to use the service.
You know, one of the challenges I think we're looking at.
By the way, this is what happens when you live in the swamp. You begin to understand them, at which point it's just going. It's really bad.
You know, it's really weird because you try not to go crazy, but you would be crazy not to admit that there isn't craziness going on, right? That sort of thing.
Yeah, you have to. And in my world, what I try to do is I try to figure out. These are not stupid people by and large. There's some of them are stupid, but most of them are not stupid. Okay, they are engaging in logistical twisting. It goes beyond anything that's imaginable. So if you're trying to figure out what they're going to do, or how you can block what they're going to do, what arguments you should use to try to deal with people who don't stand in a world where truth exists. You have to kind of try to get in front of them, because if you can get in front of them, in front of the crazy, you can create a block against the crazy. You say, this is off the table, this is absurd. And you have to then create a big barrier at the absurdity of the attempt to, let's say, disallow homeschooling or create an additional penalty for
Yeah, but what you need to also make sure that you understand here is that you can't do what many of the Oregon Republicans have done, in which, we're not going to just say no to this. You have to say yes to something. What? Because otherwise we have to look bipartisan, that sort of thing, in which, in other words, crazy commie ends up moving forward a little bit at a time, incrementally, even if it's 2 steps forward, 1 step back. It's always a net forward action.
We've talked in the past about something called the Overton window. What the Overton window is, very simple. The AOC says something crazy,
mm-hmm.
okay? And everybody goes, oh, that's crazy.
Then Mitt Romney says, well, that's not quite so crazy. We can go this far, right? That sort of thing.
Exactly right.
Uh-huh.
And suddenly crazy becomes the cup of conversation, and that becomes the kind of the opening bit of the left is crazy. And so then the Republicans say, well, we can't just say that's crazy and just say no. We have to give the child screaming in the middle of the third aisle three at the local grocery store. We have to appease them somehow.
Yeah. So we always have to give a little bit.
We'll take them to the little toy section, mm-hmm. and we'll buy them a toy soldier or whatever. I don't know if they have.
And that will appease them.
That will appease them.
It never
and
does.
So you get halfway, and so you get a quarter way closer to crazy, which allows them to move crazy further out. And because there's no way to ever appease crazy, it's merely all you're doing is you're feeding it. So when Joe Biden says, gee, we're supporting Israel, at least outwardly, and then faces crying children in Michigan who are saying, oh, we might withhold our votes from you. He starts appeasing them. And no matter how much he appeases them, you get more and more crying children all over on college campuses everywhere. Because they learn, just like your little toddler learns, if they throw a temper tantrum in the aisle and they get a piece of candy, they have learned that throwing temper tantrums in the aisle work.
So the answer, though, is to be saying just no. And the answer is just no. Not even just a partial no, just no.
They need to take a lesson from Nancy Reagan and just say no.
Yep, just say no. I like it. Rick Manning, President of Americans for Limited Government, DailyTorch.com. Probably the... Speaking of President Biden, as it were here, this is probably the last chance for Joe next Thursday, right? This coming Thursday with the debate, because this is probably going to be the decider on whether or not. And I know people will say this is not true, and he's going to be on the ticket one way or the other. This could be the make or break, though. Honestly, with former President Trump on stage, you know, no scripts. Going back and forth, and I guess they're going to be muting microphones in between so people can't catcall or do whatever the case might be.
Well, there's nobody in the audience. There's no audience.
Yeah, no audience.
They're getting no feedback whatsoever from an audience, or no vibe from an audience, which is really weird. But it's a studio environment. The only people in the thing are the cameramen on the set and camera women on the set, I guess, and all those people. And they have they'll have the moderator, whoever the question answer is from CNN, which means it's 2-1 at that point with Trump. Biden has to be able to not have to appear to be confident. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He can mess up some words because everybody does that.
But the thing is that he can actually, and this is where I think Republicans need to be, careful about the expectations here, because Biden can do something for an hour and a half sometimes. We've seen him do it in spite of his infirmity. And, for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and I don't know what kind of DARPA research juice they're giving him, but there are times when these things happen. You know, he can't do a decent speech on Juneteenth or whatever it might be, but he might do a semi-decent debate. You just don't know, right?
And I believe that first of all, you just have said what I say all the time.
Uh-huh.
In fact, it's one of the great difficulties I have, because my cartoonist, Tony Bronco, is brilliant, always wants to do cartoons that are built around Biden's incapabilities,
right?
And his obvious stuff that's going on. And I have to say, no, I mean, I need stuff on the policy stuff, because if you set the bar low enough, anybody can get over it. Okay. If you just set the bar low enough, you know, we can't have a president who has such a low bar to meet that they merely have to do the same level of communication that a fourth grader would. Okay. We have to have, there has to be more than that. And so, I think that's what happened in 2020 with the debates.
Mm-hmm.
Biden, by being able to,
By not throwing up on himself, he passed, right?
Right, and everybody, he must have had microphones and all that kind of stuff. And, what people forget, and, we talk about drugs and stuff, and maybe some of that. I mean, I'll be honest, I take performance-enhancing drugs. About 2 o'clock every afternoon, I'm down a 5-hour energy, and it helps me write.
Right.
So getting your brain juiced up a little bit, I fully endorse it. But from a practical perspective, we can't have a president who is not capable of thinking, who's not capable of performing, who doesn't have the physical stamina to do the job, who can't go around and campaign and the like. The latest thing I heard, and I don't know if he's be allowed, is the Biden campaign wants him to have a chair, and because standing for an hour and a half is a burden.
Mm-hmm.
That is a... If I were Trump, I'd let him have a chair.
Yeah. Let him.
Okay. I'm not sitting. I'm standing at my podium. And no, you don't get to put him in a chair up on a riser. You lower the podium down to where he is. Okay.
Yeah, that would be an interesting visual, wouldn't it?
Let him sit on the chair and since you can say whatever you want in your 2.5 minutes or 3 minutes or whatever it is, you can say, I really want to thank you for asking that question, but I just want to point out that we're now into this for about an hour and 15 minutes. And, and I'm really happy to have been able to accommodate President Biden's need to be able to sit down because he can't stand up this long.
You know, it'd be even better than a chair, though. Mobility scooter. How about that?
Well, I don't have, once again, you have to be careful, be the difference between a disability and an inability.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. You're right.
He has an inability, not a disability. And that's actually not a bad line. I may use that now.
Okay. Well, hang on just a minute. Did you hear the latest? And we all have little speech utterances and mumbles. Did you get the one from the other day, though? And I think this was the Juneteenth one. I saved a little bit of this.
Thanks to all the members of Congress and Homeland Security Secretary. I'm not sure I'm going to do show away.
All right. All he has to do is do something like that in the debate, and wouldn't that, in essence, kill him, really? As far as the candidacy, you hear that kind of talk in a debate?
Well, one of the things, this is, I think, the most, I don't know, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't know. The fact is, what has to happen for it to kill him in a debate is for the people to say, oh, my gosh, this is unedited. The White House has been telling us that all these videos have been edited. All these things that show him messing up have been edited. This is him live, unedited, no denying it. It's no fake video stuff. And the public has to say in significant numbers, I can't vote for him. Mm-hmm. At which point, and this is why this is the debate about Joe Biden. If he proves himself to be capable of doing the debate, you don't have to win the debate. You just have to be capable.
Yeah, just do it. Just be credible and competitive in it, right?
Then he won't lose. People will sit there and say, okay, he could do the job. Trump did better in the debate, or Trump, but he can do the job. He's okay. If he has a bad performance, and remember, even Reagan had a bad performance in the debate. Okay. So if he has a bad performance, and stumbles around a little bit, gets a little bit lost, he's having to sit down. If he has a bad performance, at that point, the numbers of people who say they don't want to vote for Trump, but say they can vote for him, go down. Bobby Kennedy's numbers and Robert Kennedy Jr.'s numbers go up. And he says, and the number of people say, no, I'm not voting for either. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's kind of and the pollsters see that on the left. They replace him in, heartbeat. They're not going to replace him from being president, but they replace him at the top of the ticket. And because they have a convention, they have the capacity to do that.
Yeah.
And that's the, I will tell you that, and this is why I keep saying Michelle Obama.
Michelle's not interested in any of this, though.
She cannot be interested in it and get it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Anybody who is clamoring for the job, Gavin Newsom, cannot be chosen because they will be viewed as the people undercutting him. Okay. So they have to have a reluctant acceptance by someone. It has to be, I didn't want the presidency. I think Joe Biden's doing a fine job, and his legacy must be continued.
Uh-huh.
And so the person has to say that. The only people who say that are people who say, I support Joe Biden. I don't want the job.
All right. Okay. We'll see how that plays
That is so basic in politics as to be, and the Obamas play it, and Gavin Newsom is not only the worst governor in America, he's a terrible politician.
But he also wants it too much, too. It's obvious. He makes it clear. All right. Now, I'm almost out of time here.
Show them what you want.
I know.
Then you don't get it.
Yeah, you have to pretend you don't want it. Okay, got it. All right. So, final question I have for you, and we're not even going to talk about whether or not President Trump gets sentenced to jail. That's another issue. I guess we'll find out a little bit more. Maybe we'll talk about that next week. But on the short list of vice presidential candidates for former President Trump, whether it's Doug Burgum or any of the other ones, Marco Rubio, et cetera, I guess he would have to move, or I guess this would start up a conflict of some sort, being in the same state. Which of the shortlist VP people do you believe gives Trump the biggest bang for his vice presidential buck? What do you think?
That's a great question. I'll start with this premise. People are going to vote for or against Donald Trump. His vice president is going to mean little. Okay. It might, if you picked someone like Sarah Sanders, it might make a difference with some suburban moms who are reluctant to vote for Trump. Mm-hmm. But Trump is such a dominating personality that we're talking about the margins. Of course, you win or lose based on 10, 15,000 votes now. So that matters. If I were throwing a guess, I would say he needs to pick a woman.
You do.
But I would say from a long-term political standpoint, he needs to pick the right vice president. He needs to pick somebody who can do the job, and somebody who will carry on the legacy for the 8 years that follow his four-year term.
My concern, though, is that it appears the conventional wisdom would love to push Nikki Haley in there.
Of course they would.
Yeah.
And Nikki Haley, picking Nikki Haley ends the Trump legacy.
That's what I was getting at.
I think Donald Trump knows that. Okay, that's the conundrum that he has. Star Parker, who I wrote a book with and do a TV thing with every week, wrote a column where she said it's wrong to pick somebody based on race and color and sex. Now, how can you not want look at a guy like Tom Cotton and say he would be, he could be president and he should be considered just because he's a white male? And so she says this, and it's like, you don't think he'd have to say that, but she really took on the whole idea of you have to pick somebody of a certain gender, certain color. And I think she did a real service to Trump to try to open it up to who could be president should Donald Trump not be able to complete his term.
That's the important question. And whether it's just that you're looking for a successor after a successful four-year term, or if for some reason, like I said, he's 78 now. He just turned 78. He's not a young man either, although he appears to be pretty darn vigorous. But I must say, the last year or two, you can see it on his face now, can't you? You know, all that strain of what's been going on?
Yeah, well, you know what? He has effectively had the strain of the presidency for 7 years. Because of he was president, and then he had 3 years of being having various criminal indictments and having the stress of essentially all that stress on him, and now you're looking at another four. So yeah, it's reasonable to sit there and say Donald Trump has to pick a vice president who could succeed him day one, push forward his agenda, and be able to acquit themselves on a world stage. That's what he has to do. He has to understand the problems inside the Beltway and understand the foreign policy problems.
And also not overshadow Don, too, right?
And not overshadow him. That is exactly right. And so you look at it, and, it's why it's a big decision. It isn't we need somebody from Ohio, so I'm taking this guy.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Dan. So I'll tell you what. Well, think about this and give us some thought on your pillow. We'll discuss it again. Just think about that aspect. Who gives him the biggest bang?
Well, next Friday we'll have the debate in the windshield.
Exactly. That'll be the bug splat on the windshield, the debate. We'll see how that goes. All right. Hey, thank you, Rick. I always appreciate the talk.
Care.
All right. DailyTorch.com is the website. Rick Manning, president of Americans for Limited Government. And we always do the D.C. Swamp Update every Friday at about this time. And boy, a day after the debate, it's even going to be swampier than usual. We'll have some, hopefully, some good news. We'll see. This is KMED, KMED HD1 Eagle Point Medford, KBXG Grants Pass.